And welcome to another edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast on a Friday. It's our Vandal Friday segments. Zach Kellogg with Chris Dermer, live quote unquote on Zoom. Yeah. Pre-record episode KUI 89.3 FM. It is right now 2:05 PM on a Friday, November 6th. Chris, how you doing today?
Not too bad. Not too bad. You know, it's been a weird week, you know, with everything going on in the world, but you know, I think there might be, something good around the corner, or at least I'm hoping. So,
fingers crossed.
Take
right
one
there.
Day at a time, you know, one day exactly. At a time.
There you go. All right. So, for maybe some new listeners or some people who are just getting into it, our show is divided up into two sections, a Friday and a Monday. Friday, we talk entirely about Vandal and college sports, along with a brief segment about our NFL games of the week for our weekly Pick'em series, where we pretty much guess two to three games a week all throughout the year. The winner gets a prize. I won last year. Chris so far has been on a tear this year. So we still got a long way to go.
I thought you caught up. I thought you caught up to me though now.
Yeah, I did, but I want to make you feel good. So we're both 8-4 right now. But I you know, I want to make you feel
good. I'll get my
lead
back. I'll get it back. I'll get my lead back this week.
Hey, we got some great games on the lineup this week. Seattle Buffalo, Baltimore Colts, New Orleans Tampa.
We need to do one college game too. I forgot. We have to still do a college game.
I'm so out of college football right now because I don't know who's playing each week. I don't know which conferences are hopping back in. But when
they're
all
back, they're basically all back now.
Yeah. All right. You know what? Let's do Boise State.
Except Pac-12.
BYU at Boise State, number 9 at number 21.
Okay.
That'll be the one we do when we get there, but that's at the end of the show. First, we have to talk some Vandal athletics, starting, of course, with Vandal football. As the spring schedule, as we talked last time, is out and about, the Vandals have a good path to maybe winning the Big Sky Conference, if we're being completely honest.
Yeah.
Chris, have you had a chance to look over the schedule and kind of see who the Vandals have lined up for this spring?
I have actually. And it seems that the first half of the schedule, a good chance that the Vandals could go 3-0 to start off the season.
Honestly,
no promises because, you know, we have high expectations and high hopes for this Vandal squad. But I feel like in years past, they have proven to us that they can be a roller coaster of a team. I always say this. You always experience the highest of highs with the Vandals and the lowest of lows. And week one, February 27th, they're playing, I think, is that
Northern Colorado?
Northern Colorado. And I believe that was the game last year that they lost right
on the road,
after Easter.
And it was supposed to be, and, you know, the win that turned the corner. And
it was supposed to be against the – against at the time was I'm pretty sure they still ended up as one of the worst teams. Northern Colorado was one of the worst teams in the Big Sky. So hopefully I think they come out with a bang. I think they come out to prove the doubters wrong. Now I'm not for sure, Zach. I don't know if you can tell me this. Is it a home game or is that an away
game?
It is a home game. Okay. I'm looking at the schedule here, but I'm not for sure which ones are home games, which ones are away. I'm assuming the Northern Colorado game is at home.
Yes. It alternates. So home, away, home, away, home. Yeah.
Yeah. So then Idaho State will be on the road. Portland State, I'm assuming, will come to town.
Yep.
Eastern's back on the road. Montana will be back in the Kibbe. And then Southern Utah. I'm not for sure. When was the last time? Did we even play Southern Utah last year?
I don't believe we did. I think since we do have we had, I believe, 13 teams.
I think
since we have a 13-team conference, you know, some seasons you just don't get to play.
Yeah.
Every single.
Yeah, pretty sure we would go to Southern Utah because I think they came to the Kibbe 2 years ago, the year right after they were the Big Sky co-champions. So, honestly, this seems like a pretty great schedule. If you're a Vandal fan, this is what you want to see. last year, I think the Vandals had one of the toughest schedules in the Big Sky.
Yeah.
But this year, I mean, looking at our schedule so far, Zach, who would you think would be the biggest challengers? I would say possibly Montana. Idaho State. I mean, Montana, yes. I think Montana and Eastern, those two are going to be, especially having those back-to-back, that's going to be tough. That's going to be the toughest stretch.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we come off of a bye week, I think, what it's looking like here, before going against Eastern and Montana. But in that first half, you know, I'd assume Idaho State and Portland State are going to give them a bit of a fight.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, who knows? I'm hoping they start off 3-0 because I think they need to, especially with what that latter half of the schedule is going to look like with Eastern, with Montana. I don't think they would lose both in a row. But I think the big pivotal moment to find out what this Vandal team is going to be all about is going to be against the Montana Grizzlies. The Vandals have proven they can beat Eastern, you know, in decidingly fashion. So I think they're going to have momentum with that Eastern game. But Montana has always been a thorn in the Vandal side, and just showing why they're the granddaddies of the Big Sky. So we'll see how that game goes. But I'm excited. I'm really excited for this.
Looking at last year, I mean, just bringing back so many memories of like, all right, Penn State, whatever. We were 0-1. The win against Central Washington, could have won against Wyoming. The win against Eastern, everyone, including the team, thought they should have been Northern Colorado. And then the very close, almost win against Weber State. Could have been 5-1 to open up the season last year. Instead, open up 2-4. I mean, again, I think this season is the best opportunity the Vandals are going to have. I mean, like you said, to get a strong start and actually have some momentum going into these big rivalry games. Because for me, I think the biggest issue is that the Vandals either get the absolute crap kicked out of them in week one in a money game, or they absolutely kick the crap out of some FC or, you know, some really, really low level team, some Division II team, Division III team. Like, what was that?
Do we know if the Vandals are going to, are we having a somewhat of a non-conference schedule? I'm pretty sure we're not, right?
No, all Big Sky.
Right into the Big Sky. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, we had Western New Mexico, I believe, a couple years back, who we absolutely trounced at home. But it's like, either, I think it either kicks the crap out of the Vandals and then they just lose faith in everything. And there's like, crap, we're going to lose again. Or they get absolutely clobber teams. And then in my mind, sometimes their egos get a little too big and they're like, all right, we can take anyone. And then they get humbled and then things just kind of roll from there. And we kind of seen how those seasons go. For me, I mean, I think Northern Colorado at home, I mean, they did finish last place in the Big Sky last year. Tied with Southern Utah and Idaho State and Northern Arizona and Cal Poly. All of them finished 2-6 in conference play. Northern Colorado had the worst overall record of 2-10. So we're playing three of the worst teams in the Big Sky, 2 to open, 1 to end it. Portland State last year was 3-5, tied with the Vandals for the conference record. I think that's what, sixth place. And then we aren't playing Weber State. Sacramento State isn't playing this year. I mean, Montana and Eastern both finished 6-2. We show we can beat Eastern. And honestly, I think Montana might be vulnerable this year.
What makes you think that?
In talking with people with a lot of knowledge of the athletic department and with the teams, they have been saying, like, very much, if things click for the Vandals, there's no reason they can't be 6-0. The defense is solid. The offense is solid. Cade Coffey, I mean, they're like, there's no weaknesses. All three aspects of the game.
That is true. I mean, I agree with you. I don't think there's really any weaknesses in the Vandal game either, other than possibly whatever the secondary, whatever secondary we see from the Vandals on a consistent basis. So
I think the only thing that will hold the Vandals back is two things. Chemistry, if they can just keep it together and keep it going, go through adversity and pick up wins, and injuries. I've noticed since, you know, these kind of spring quote-unquote practices are over, injuries have been the biggest thing so far in terms of what the Vandals have had to fight. And I think that, I mean,
we can't, I mean, we also can't count out COVID. Like,
exactly.
There's that too, you know?
One outbreak derails a game, changes your whole schedule, throws everything out the window. So we'll just have to wait and see, because honestly, I'm just not sure.
I do think the Vandals are prepared, though, for a situation like that or injuries. I think the depth is there for the Vandals. My biggest fear is what the quarterback situations. I wouldn't say fear, but, like, you know, I have a lot of confidence in what Matt Boudry is going to bring for the Vandals, something that we really haven't had in a while at quarterback. It's just like, it's nice to go into a season and not have to talk about what's the quarterback situation is going to be like. What's it going to be on a consistent basis? Yeah. Are we going to be able to trust him this week or not? I feel like he's going to be able to perform at a high level in the Big Sky, especially with a schedule like this. So I think we'll just see week one, see how ready they really are.
Yeah, I mean, against the Bears, we'll just have to wait and see. Like, honestly, for me, I'm predicting just off the bat, first impressions, what I know about the team right now, I'm predicting a 4-2 record.
Yeah.
I think 4-2 because I think one of the gimme games that we see are going to be losses. And then either Eastern or Montana, we're going to win one of those, we're going to lose one of those. My guess is probably the at Eastern game, because I'm guessing Eastern is none too happy with how things ended up last season, in the Big Sky rivals, but not in the Big Sky rivalry game.
Yeah. See, I don't know, man. That Eastern Montana, those two games, I can see them winning against Eastern. I can see them losing against Eastern. But really, man, still with Montana, you got to prove it. Like, we've been saying for a while, especially last season when they were hot, I think going into the Montana game or 2 years ago. No, it was 2 years ago when the Vandals were hot going into the final game of the season against Montana at home. And then they just got clobbered.
Annihilated.
Just annihilated. So I don't know. Montana has something on the Vandals. So I don't know. I don't think they lose the gimme games this year. I really don't.
Okay. I really don't. Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest tell is I think those first three games are going to tell us everything we need to know about the Vandals.
Yeah.
Honestly, the first two games against them in the Colorado and on the road against Idaho State, that's going to tell us everything we need to know about this team, in my opinion.
Yeah, and if there's any gimme games possibly that they lose, maybe Portland State just because of the ground the and pound. They
laid last year.
Yeah, and just the ground and pound style of, you know, play that Portland State always brings. But who knows? I hope. Wouldn't it be something if they're undefeated going into Southern Utah?
Not trying to be mean, but I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I know.
No, I
feel that.
And if I do see it, oh man, I'm gonna be so excited. I don't think anyone knows how excited I'd actually be, because I just hope that it happens, and if it does, man, I'm going to be so freaking ecstatic.
Yeah. Well, other than the Vandals, who else do you think within the Big Sky, football-wise, will, you know, be there when it's all said and done at the end?
Let me take a look here. I'm going to pull up the teams real quick.
Right now, looking at the schedule, I think Weber State is one of those teams that, looking at their schedule, they may have an easier schedule than ours. So Weber State is definitely one. I mean, starting off the season, Idaho State. Then I think it looks like Montana State, Northern Arizona, those three games.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. There's this one logo that I have no idea who they are. This, it looks like it's like the Bears logo or the Reds logo, and then there's an A in the middle. Is that a new team? What team is that?
The Bears.
There's like a, yeah, it's like the Bears C.
Where are you looking?
I'm looking at the picture that the Big Sky Football tweeted out with the whole spring conference schedule.
Let me go look at that.
Because there's a logo there that I have never seen before.
Big Sky
Football. I'm assuming it might be like a California type team or something. I don't know.
Big Sky Football, you said, tweeted it out?
Yeah, Big Sky Football. Yeah.
I feel like I should know. That's
I have no idea what team that is. Yeah.
Let's see. Cal Poly, Eastern Washington, Idaho, Idaho State, Grizzlies, Montana, Northern Arizona, UNC.
Is there a new team that joins to replace Sacramento State for a year or something? Or
I don't believe so. Let me double check. Okay, who do they play? They do play Portland State. Let me just go hop on Portland State's schedule and look at the description they give. Yeah, I have no idea. My Portland State's website isn't working. They play Idaho State. Yes. I love it when like the one time I'm going to these team sites and they just decide to not work for whatever reason.
Yeah. I feel that.
Schedule.
Because they're all over the place here.
UC Davis. That's UC Davis.
Oh, it's UC Davis. Okay.
Yes.
Has that always been their logo? Okay.
I guess. I think it might be an updated one actually.
Maybe, because I'm like, I don't. Okay. Well, looking at UC Davis.
So it used to be the or like the C with like the Mustang in it or the Aggie.
Yeah.
And so now they just took that out and put an A in there.
Oh, okay.
And all so right. It's just a little different because it's C U C Aggies, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
I just didn't. I didn't even put that together. I was like, what the heck?
Didn't even totally forgot about UC Davis.
All right. All right. Let's see where we're at. All right. What are your overall predictions as we kind of round this out for football in terms of what you think their final record would be?
For the Vandals?
Yeah.
I think I'm with you. I would say 4-2 or 5-1.
Okay.
I think anything below that is a disappointment.
No, yeah, I think wins isn't good enough. Like, that's
yeah, it's not good enough. If there's any year for them to have a chance to win a Big Sky title and have a chance to go to the FCS playoffs, it's this season. It's in the spring. The time is now. You know, there's always high expectations for the Vandals, but this season, I think it's justified because the Vandals have a full, well-rounded team to get there. So I think, 4-2 or 5-1, that's where they lie. And heck, I'd love to see them go 6-0 and prove us wrong.
Honestly, same here. All right. We say 4 wins is the expectation for this Vandals team. Excited for more, disappointed by less. I mean, we had a whole lot of other schedules announced for the spring season. Next up, women's soccer for the Vandals. Pulling that up right now. This format is going to be similar for both soccer and volleyball to where it's usually grouped up in two home, two away. It's also that way for basketball. Unlike basketball, though, and volleyball, as the volleyball schedule just kind of disappeared on me for whatever reason. For volleyball
I got to get the soccer one up.
Yeah. So for volleyball and basketball, like it's going to be like on the road, you play the same team twice in 2 days. And then at home, you play the same two team. You play the same team twice in 2 days. And it's just going to be the back and forth in that sense, which I think, again, is the best possible way to do things right now. And for soccer, yeah. I'm surprised they're not doing something a little more similar. And as we kind of look at the Vandals now, at least for volleyball, grid composite schedule.
Now you're going to have to remind me, Zach, who are the usual contenders when it comes for volleyball?
First, we're going to talk about soccer.
Are always there.
We're going to talk about soccer, and then we'll talk about volleyball.
I meant soccer.
No, I get it, man. It's what. Just kidding. It can really vary from year to year because, like, a couple years ago when Montana won the whole thing, they came in as a 7 seed, I believe, in the Big Sky tournament, and they went on to win the whole thing. I mean, okay. So really, I think the big contenders are, let's see here, Northern Colorado, Montana,
yeah,
and Weber State. Those are usually the top teams, the teams that give the Vandals the biggest headaches.
Okay.
But, like, again, similar to pretty much every other sport. I was going to say football, but really to every other sport, every single game is going to be a dogfight. There's no real gimmies.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, for calling the team and covering them for the last 3 seasons, I've seen just about everything. And honestly, I can see any one of these teams really taking it. I mean, yeah, Montana, Sac State's usually a team that's really in there and high up in the rankings, but sorry, not Weber State. Weber State hasn't been great the last couple years. The last year, the top teams were Montana, Sac State, Eastern Washington, with Northern Colorado, Northern Arizona rounding out, with Portland State stealing that last spot. But again, every single year, it seems new faces come into these programs, and more freshmen have made huge impacts on these teams, or players that have been mostly role players for the first 2 or 3 years of their career, exploding mm-hmm. in their senior years and making huge leaps. And so honestly, your guess is as good as mine. I think the guess is as good as anyone to who will take soccer, because the difference for soccer as well, unlike, volleyball and tennis, which are formatting to just a smaller bracket for the Big Sky tournament, soccer, if you win the regular season, you get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. There's no postseason. It's just you win the regular, you're automatically in. So that just adds even more – like, you can't have a Montana Cinderella story run. You have to win every single match, essentially. If you go undefeated, you got a guaranteed in. And so every team's going to be knowing one loss can really decide if we make it farther or not.
Yeah, Montana really went on a tear last season, especially in Big Sky play. So, I would assume – I think Montana and Sacramento State, they'll be around Eastern as well. Possibly. I don't know, man. Like, when it comes to soccer, it's pretty even as to all these squads. So, but when it comes to Idaho soccer in particular, I know last season was definitely not a high note when it comes to Idaho soccer. How much do you think? But it was also a young team from what I can remember. So, how much do you think they will be able to regroup this coming season and maybe go on a Montana run themselves?
So yeah, they ended the season last year 5-12-2, 2-5-2 in conference play. Only one game was decided by two goals, or was decided by more than a goal, and that was at Eastern Washington. Every other game was 2-1, 0-1, 1-0, 1-2. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games going into overtime. I will say with this team, with the difference in media coverage and kind of the information we get from athletics, just because, COVID trying to manage with all this.
Yeah.
This is the least I know about the incoming class and some of the newer faces than I have in years past. So in looking at who I know, who I've covered, I mean, Avery Fox at goalkeeper, she was the starter before Julia Byerlin stepped in and had a tremendous end of the year. Avery Fox, no slouch at all. Looking at the senior class, or, you know, the upperclassmen, you have the two redshirt seniors, or, you know, graduate students in Taylor Bruss and Maya Marino. You got Hadley Spriga as a midfielder. I mean, I could go through this whole list. I know for a lot of people, it's just like, I don't know who any of these people are. Yeah. And I mean, that's just how it is. I think.
See those names, what you said, I recognize those names because I remember. Yeah.
But once I start going into
the newer ones,
Maddie Haas, Sydney Schmidt, Sabrina Baca, Trinity Paulson, Madison Gustafson, McKenna Lay, like that's when it starts like, all right, people who are players who haven't really done a whole lot yet in their careers.
Yeah.
For this season, just simply because I don't have enough knowledge about the team yet, just because of the limited interaction we can have with them, I find it hard to give a fair assessment to this team. But with the talent that I know and with this, my interactions with this team before and kind of my own prediction, I would say the offensive third or the attacking front could be better than the defensive front for the first time in a while, simply because the Vandals don't have the constant leaders as they have had in years past. This is going to really be the first year where it's going to be almost entirely new back line. Because, I mean, you have Catherine Blickenstaff at outside back. Mm-hmm. You got Fiona Dawson, who played a little bit back there as a transfer, but didn't get her time to kind of dwindle as the season kept going on. And as you kind of go through, I mean, it's just you just have a lot of unproven players. And the only way to get, you know, prepared is to have game time speed and game time play. And that's why the Vandals, much like basketball, women's basketball, love having a super tough non-conference schedule.
Yeah.
Without that, it's just really who can hit the ground running the quickest and then who can adapt to other teams. And that's been the struggle. One of the biggest struggle for the Vandals the last few years is that they have their own brand of defensive, aggressive, physical soccer where you don't score a ton. But, I mean, that's also been their downfall is when they can't adapt or a team figures out how to counter that, there's really nothing they can quite do. So for this team this year and looking at their schedule, because, I mean, it's like at Southern Utah, at Northern Arizona, back against the Vikings and the Hornets, and it's just that back and forth where you play every team once, and they close out with three matches. I mean, you only have four road games, you have five homes. I mean, again, I couldn't – it'd honestly just be a shot in the dark. But this is maybe the most kind of wary I've been about the Vandals in a while. I'll say that.
Really? You think this – see, I think
– there's just so much uncertainty for me. I just don't know enough about this team to where I just can't be – like last year I was like, oh, the defense is still going to be solid because I know who's on that team. I've seen them play. I know the style. But with this year, I mean, there's only just so many players I know returning and I've seen actually play in matches and games. Mm-hmm. And I know you just really don't quite know what you're getting until you get it. And yeah, it's just going to be waiting until kickoff on March 12th to kind of see that.
See, I still think defensively, I think the Vandals will be fine. I think they're going to have a lot of grind them out games. Just because that's what the Vandals are known for. So I don't really agree with you on how they'll be better offensively. Because I think going into, you know, with new players and all that, I think it'll be easier for them to defend rather than score.
This is true. Yeah.
I really think so. So now if they can click offensively, then they have a great shot. But That's been the biggest downfall these past, I would say, really two seasons for Vandal soccer is just their scoring capability and, you know, just they're always in those games. There's rarely been a lot of Vandal soccer blowouts. So it's just more of how can they come together and finish these games, just finish them out. So,
I mean,
it'll be interesting to see. I don't think they're going to be a terrible team. I think they'll be
not by any sense.
Better. I think they'll be better than last year, but I still think they'll be like middle of the pack. Maybe a top five if we're lucky, but like maybe 4, 5, 6 I'd put them.
Honestly, I'd be surprised if they weren't a top five team by the end of the season when it's all said and done. Again, it's not, I'm not saying that their defense is going to be bad. And like, I mean, we have Maya Marino, who's a tremendous scorer when she has the opportunities to, but at the same time, it's just, yeah, you can have grind them out games, but at some point you need to have some kind of scoring threat. You need to have someone who can put the ball in the back of the net or at least get some shots on goal. Cause that's just the thing. The Vandals have always had a tough time consistently getting shots away on target, because eventually you're going to, I mean, that forces the defense on the other end to shift, to rotate, to adjust. And that opens up different opportunities and different avenues for what might be your other strengths. But if you don't even do that in their base defense, they're going to have no reason to change. And then if you just continue to try and fight that, yeah, you might get a couple shots off. You might get a goal here and there. But I think just consistency has always been the issue of this team, to where they have the talent, they have the plays, yeah, they have the structure. It's just putting it all together, because you can only rely on your defense for so long. And that's how we saw a lot of, you know, 1-2 losses, 1-0 losses, you know, those kind of matches. Because, I mean, you can, your defense can only hold on for so long, because, again, they play very physical of pushing the ball. And Coach Clevenger has really emphasized movement for Idaho soccer. They can only have so much gas in the tank.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, like you say, the physicality, I think, will be the big thing. You know, the Vandals have to stay as the aggressors, you know, throughout the game, and not really be more of a defensive team, but rather of a aggressive team and getting to the goal and getting more shots on goal, and everything like you were saying. So it'll be interesting how it all plays out, for sure.
It's just, yeah, and the one thing is, if you're too aggressive, you open up opportunities for the other team, and then that can snowball down for you. And so that's another concern that I have, is just like, all right, well, you have to be aggressive, but you can't be too aggressive. And then you start getting into that tightrope act of like, all right, just how far is too far, or,
yeah,
you know,
I think there is, yeah,
it's how far, it's far enough too.
It's a tight rope. It's a delicate balance, but I still think it's okay if they are more, I would rather them have them be more aggressive than not, you know?
No, like, agreed.
Cause especially with an offense that we don't really know what we're going to see yet, they're going to need it. So I think the best chance the Vandals have is just, which I mean, usually is for any team, it's just getting as many shots on goal as possible and get more shots than the other team. So
the thing I will say to that is that it's about the quantity, but you also have to have quality looks. Yeah, you can have 15 shots on goal, but if they're all from outside the 18, just long bombs, and you're just hoping and praying the keeper messes up.
That's
what I mean by the attack of not being consistent, is that we've seen a lot of those. And I mean, with like a Taylor Bruss, sometimes she can make those happen and go in with, you know, a perfect strike, but, you know, it's just not consistent. You need to get those Maya Marinos. You need to get those Madison Gustafsons. You need to get, you know, those players inside the box, allow them to make a move and get them shots on goal from a close distance that gives them the opportunity to actually net something. Because at this point, it just seems like it's a lot of shoot from far, hope and pray, and see what happens. And I think you just need to get the ball in the 18 more consistently, which I think that Clevenger and his staff have definitely preached on this offseason. It's just a matter of implementing that and continuing to work on that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Yeah, they don't need to be shooting bombs all the time. That's not what I'm meaning by being aggressive, but just, you know, play smart and just be aggressive. I think that's really what I want to see from the Vandals. So
I'm just excited to see this team back. It's been a long fall not having Idaho soccer, Idaho volleyball, Idaho football going on. And speaking of Idaho volleyball, the next team we're going to talk about is, they also had their schedule released.
Ooh, fun transition. Fun transition.
I love it, man. It works out perfectly. Looking at their composite schedule, Idaho has a week one bye at the start of January. They start off play on the 31st, and they don't stop until March 22nd. They play Southern Utah, Idaho State, Sacramento State, Northern Arizona, Montana, Montana State, Eastern Washington, Northern Colorado. They just alternate away, home, or home, away, away, home, away, home, away, home. So they play back-to-back away sets, and that'll be February 7th and 8th and February 14th and 15th. So there's a week gap between every single one of these, looks like, which I mean is ideal because, again, you get a break. And then I know that the Eastern matches, those could be like one home, one away, since it is such a short drive between Moscow and Cheney.
Yeah. You know, how do you think things will start to play out for Vandal Volleyball?
So for me, again, I'm looking at the roster and, again, looking at what I know and who I know. The loss of Kier Palmbush to a transfer, I think, is going to be one of the biggest blows for this team, because having her and Nikki Ball as those middle blockers was just, it was a match made in heaven. You got two players who can not only defend at an elite level, but also be elite offensive weapons. And I mean, I was just hoping that she would have stayed, but then she decides to head out. Best of luck to her. But now it's trying to find someone to help move in. I mean, it's with this team, it's just, you have good talent at the top in Avery Housley, Donna Jansen at setter, Nikki Ball at a middle blocker, Sam Swayze. You can be at the libero, Kennedy Warren at outside, a middle blocker. I mean, it's just trying to see who works where. Last season was the most excited and the most talent I've seen on this Vandal team in a while, just in terms of overall, in terms of chemistry and everything. And I was really excited to see what they could do, but then they just kind of – now this year I just don't have as much excitement. I just don't have – because, again, it's just me not knowing enough about this team and me just kind of not knowing what's going to be there and who's going to fill in for the players like the Delaney Hopins, who's going to fill in for the Kiera Palmbushes. I just don't know who's going to be there to fill these big shoes left behind in these big roles. Cause I mean, those are quality players. I mean, you had like a Paige Ruhpiper on the outside hitter who was tremendous as well. And it's like, can Kennedy Warren take that next step? Same with Avery Housley, you know, being those offensive weapons this team needs.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to have a lot of doubt with Vandal Volleyball because they've been pretty consistent throughout all these years.
Debbie Buchanan.
Gotta love Debbie Buchanan. You know, we always say Debbie Buchanan, John Newley, you know,
consistency.
The backbone of Vandal Athletics comes with those two.
Yep.
And really, for the most part, you know, comparing to last year's standings and stuff, not an easy schedule, but not a overly difficult schedule either. You know, starting things off with Southern Utah, that'll be an interesting match because both those teams were pretty even last year. But really, what's weird with Vandal Volleyball, especially with now them starting with Big Sky play, is that they always had those non-conference, you know, pre-conference tournaments, you know, to kind of get their footing. They never really, I would say not excel, but they did enough. And then once Big Sky season came around, that's when they got rolling. That's when they always made their runs. That's what Vandal Volleyball's always, they've always been ready for Big Sky play. So now I'm just curious, how is it going to be without those preseason tournaments and just going right into Big Sky play? So is it going to take a few matches? Is that what we say for volleyball? Matches?
Matches, right? Yep.
Okay. Is it going to take a few matches for them to finally get the ball rolling? Or are they going to come out of the gate ready to go? You know, I think David Buchanan's squad's going to be ready. They're going to be prepared. But just with how different of a season this is for all Vandal sports, really, how it's going to be come down to how easily can they just adapt?
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, looking at the roster, I mean, we did lose two seniors last year and then the one sophomore, I guess, in Kiera Palmbush.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, again, we still have talent. It's just how much can the young members contribute, you know, how quickly can they progress? And as you know, with Coach Buchanan and her staff, you know, they're going to make the adjustments. They're going to do what they can to really unlock the potential of these players. Again, it's just, you don't know until you know. And having Middle blocker is just my biggest question mark. Are you going to play Kennedy Warren more at that outside spot? Are you going to move her to the middle? B. Whitling, are you going to move her inside as a redshirt freshman? Are you going to have her, you know, kind of get thrown in the fire of that middle front?
Yeah.
It's just like, just like soccer, there's just some question marks that I don't have the answers to, and no one will until we at least have more data to look at, or until the season gets a little closer and we have more of an opportunity to actually analyze this team.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, it's difficult. It's more difficult with soccer and volleyball just because we haven't had a chance to really see these teams at all. As much as we have got to see glimpses of Vandal football and all that stuff. So when it comes to both sports, it's going to be a toss-up to see really what happens. But like I was saying, it's just going to come down to how can they adapt to these weird and crazy times, and especially with this new and crazy, straight off the bat, Big Sky season. So it's have to wait and see.
Yeah. I think that's a great segue right there. And now, I mean, we covered those three Vandal teams, and now it's time to move into.
Right before we move on, though, I want to say this. It's just nice to see these. It's just really nice that we're talking about these schedules and we're seeing schedules, because that means it's finally here. It's finally around the corner to have Vandal sports to talk about with us rather than just like.
Yeah.
Asking about random stuff. Just seeing schedule. It's really nice.
No. Yeah, I agree. Really excited. This is the most normal conversation compared to years past that we've had all season, all year.
Exactly.
And I'm just glad we can have it. But you know what? We'll keep on keeping at the college level. We're going to do our weekly pick'ems where, you know, of course we try and pick the winners of, you know, 3 to 4 games every week. And we're starting off with college football. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting one considering two teams and two communities that I noticed the Vandals and the people in Moscow don't really like too much.
Yeah.
Being the BYU and BSU, number 9 mm-hmm. at number 21. This, I think, is going to be BYU's one of their defining games on if they even have a chance to make the college football playoff.
I totally agree with you on that. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to pull up BYU's schedule right now and kind of see who they have else on their schedule. I mean, they have Boise State. And then UNA, University of North Alabama. Okay. And then San Diego State. So I think this is going to be the game that, you know, if they win this, you have to think that they have at least a chance. I don't think it's a good chance, but it's a chance.
All right,
Chris.
Correct me if I'm wrong, BYU is still in the Mountain West when it comes to football, right?
They're independent.
No, they're not. They're independent now?
Yep. Oh.
Well, you know, I think this is an interesting matchup because I hate to say it, but BSU's always been consistent. You know, they're always there somehow. But this BYU team, they're strong. They seem legit, and they have – they have a Heisman candidate quarterback with Zach Wilson. And he's fun to watch. He really is. He's a lot of fun to watch. I could see him maybe do really well in the NFL as well. So there's a lot of hype when it comes to that BYU offense and Zach Wilson and company. So, you know, I personally am going to take BYU. I think they're the stronger team, especially even on the defensive side of things. But I'm not going to be shocked if Boise State pulls it off. Is this in Boise or is it
in Boise, at Boise State?
Yeah. So
that's why I'm in.
That's going to be interesting.
This might be sacrilegious, but I'm going to take the Broncos.
Ooh.
Just because with Brian Harsin and that team, I find it hard to bet against them. I find it hard, especially in Boise on the blue, for teams to come in there and win. And I think this is going to spoil BYU's championship aspirations. And ultimately, this is going to make the rivalry even more potent even more explosive, and even better for years to come. I'm taking Boise State, number 21, to upset number 9. And then Boise State makes a run to potentially be a group of 5 team to make it to.
Wow.
I don't know, okay. But maybe. I mean, you got Oregon ranked as number 12, and they're 0-0 right now. So who knows with this year, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know when the Pac-12 starts up. Is it this weekend? Pac-12 started already?
This weekend, yeah, I think.
This weekend. I'm like,
yeah, they're starting.
Because they didn't play last weekend.
No, so. Yeah, I meant this weekend is when they're officially starting,
So, and see, college football, it's nice right now. Like, it's weird. You got to adjust a little bit to it, but it's going to be fun. One game I do want to talk about when it comes to college football that we also could have done a weekly pick 'em for. We won't. It's up to you. If you want to do that too, I'm all for
Clemson,
it.
Clemson, Notre Dame.
But Clemson, Notre Dame. This is a big Notre game Dame. Because really, you're still picking Notre Dame.
No Trevor Lawrence.
This quarterback though for Clemson, this freshman, everyone says he could be even better than Trevor Lawrence.
Doubt it.
I don't want to say his name. If you see his name right now, you can try to say it, but I feel like I'm just going to totally butcher it.
Let me pull it up and see, because again, college football has been on the back of my radar.
He played pretty well last week, but I'm pretty sure it was against Boston College they played. So, I mean, Boston College isn't like a terrible team this year, but they're not fantastic either. So, but
I'm gonna call him DJ. I'm just gonna call him DJ.
Yeah. Just call him DJ.
Yep.
I still think Clemson does it. I think Clemson will do it. I don't doubt Clemson. I don't doubt him. I think this is gonna be like a Tua Tagovailoa situation.
I knew you were gonna say that.
This is gonna be like a Tua situation because nobody believed in Tua to come out of the gates and win a national championship for Alabama against a stingy Georgia defense. And that's without a week's preparation. This kid at least has a week of preparation. He got to play last week. So it's going to be a good game, I think. Notre Dame hasn't really sold me yet.
They haven't really sold me yet.
They never do. They may get to the college football playoff and cool, good for them, but are they not going to get blown out by 20, 30 something points in the opening game? Who knows? So my money's on Clemson. And if Clemson wins without Trevor Lawrence against a Notre Dame team that is still one of the best teams in the nation, how can you not pick them to win it all at the end of the year? Like,
no, for sure. Yeah. I mean, for me, they very well could. Again, I think it's another kind of toss-up. I'm going to take the home team in this instance of Notre Dame, especially without your starting quarterback against, rather than one of the better teams in the ACC, one of the best teams in the country. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Fighting Irish in this one.
Okay.
So that replaced one of our pick 'em games because we'll do four.
Okay.
Now we'll do two NFL. First up, 6-1 versus 6-1, Seattle at Buffalo. Who do you got?
You know, this is going to be an interesting game because when it comes to the Bills, the games they've won are games that they've been expected to win. I'm pretty sure their only loss is against Kansas City.
Are they 6-2? They might be 6-2.
Yeah, I think they're 6-2. Because I'm like, yeah, I don't
Tennessee
think
Tennessee and Kansas City. Those are the
Tennessee
two.
And Kansas City. Kansas City won on the road in Buffalo.
Yep.
So, you know, I think the Seahawks are going to win. I do. If Patrick Mahomes was able to do really good there, like, why not Russ? Like, Russ is going to cook. Yeah, there might be Buffalo weather, but also, you know, Seattle plays in Seattle and they have some crazy weather as well. So,
but they have rain. They don't just have freezing, freezing cold. I think that's the big difference. Yeah,
that is true. But I mean, how many other snow games and stuff too has Russ been a part of? You know, like Seattle weather gets pretty crazy as well sometimes in the winter. So
I'm trying to think of snow games he's played in, and I can only think of like,
I don't know.
I can't really think. No, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, though.
I think it's gonna come down. I think Seattle gets it. I think Seattle gets it done. Yeah, DK Metcalf, who could be, he's on pace now to be the next Julio Jones. And if you even want to go higher, he could be. I'm not gonna say he is, but there's, you know, the ceiling of possibly a Calvin Johnson Megatron.
Yeah,
thing going on. So,
and I mean, Jamal Adams is back for this game, despite the fact that Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde, the two starting or the top two running backs, are out, which means that's going to be, you know,
and Carlos Dunlap will be playing this game as well.
I believe so. Yeah, Carlos Dunlap should be making his Seattle debut this week, which will be really nice for the pass rush because if we can. With how mobile Josh Allen can be, it's just going to be making sure, trying to get him to make him beat us with his arm, which isn't always the most accurate because he has a strong arm, yeah. And he's fallen off since that early kind of spark to his season.
And that's the thing too, like which Josh Allen are we going to see? Are we going to see the early, you know, first 4 weeks Josh Allen where he was accurate throwing the ball everywhere and just – a downright, you know, MVP candidate, or are we going to see the Josh Allen as of late? So it'll be interesting. I'm also interested to see how they're going to, you know, try to contain Stephon Diggs as well. Possibly, I think one player to really keep an eye on for the Bills offensively is Cole Beasley. You know, he's always been a reliable guy there in the slot. And if with a lot of focus being on Diggs, you know, I could see a lot of the passes going to Beasley, going to the Buffalo tight ends. So, and you know, it comes down to how ready is Jamal Adams? Is he going to come back in and be the home wrecker he is always on the field? So, who knows? I think it's going to be a good game, though. I think it's not going to be a bad game. If it's a Seattle football game, it's going to be a close game.
So Seattle has Shaquille Griffin start our CB1, Benson Mayoa on the D line. He's out. Mike Iupati is out. Chris Carson is questionable, most likely out, and Carlos Hyde is out. So I mean, we're missing some key guys. So
Mike Iupati being out too. You know, shout out to Mike Iupati, go Vandals. But he's been a huge part of that Seattle O line to kind of, you know, make that shift, make that turnaround. So I don't know. It'll be interesting, but I'm going to take the Seahawks. I don't like it. I don't like taking the Seahawks, but you know, Russell Wilson is the top MVP candidate right now, or at least he should be. So
let Russ cook.
Yeah, I think that'll be fine.
Now we'll look at our last matchup, 5-2, 5-2. Undefeated on the road versus undefeated at home, the Baltimore Ravens at the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, you can start this one first, Zach.
I'm taking the Ravens, Lamar Jackson over Phillip Rivers. I mean,
okay.
I don't think that's that big of a surprise. For me, if the Colts win this game, their stock rises on their potential this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like this is kind of their big pivot game of like, all right, where is this season going to go? Where is the expectations? Where should they be? Because I mean, you go 6-2, you beat one of the top teams in the NFL in Baltimore. You got a good case to maybe be a dark horse Super Bowl contender, but I just don't know with this team. I just don't know. That's why I'm taking Baltimore.
Yeah. You know, I can respect that. You know, last season the Colts started 5-2 and then collapsed. So I think this team will be different. Phillip Rivers has been playing, I hate to say it, but he's been playing well the last few weeks. So it's going to come down to, I think, if Phillip Rivers just doesn't make any mistakes with the football. But really, it's an interesting matchup when you really look at it, especially when it comes with that Ravens offense versus the Colts defense. The Colts defense is playing phenomenal football right now. They're one of, you know, the top teams in the NFL on defensive side. And they're also, I think, great at stopping the run. They've been phenomenal at stopping the run this season. So, which is interesting because the Ravens, are just great at running the football. I mean, we saw what they did against that Steelers defense last week, getting, I think, over 230 yards rushing against Pittsburgh last week. So, but at the same time, too, you know, the play for the linebackers for the Colts is also an interesting matchup to try and contain Lamar Jackson. This could be a terrible hot take, but I think if there's any defense that's more prepared or well-suited to stop Lamar Jackson and how they play, it's the Colts. I'm not just saying that because I'm a homer. I just really think they're the most prepared team to do it. But the way they play the zone and the linebackers just sit there and watch the whole time, I think they could be able to contain Lamar Jackson. It's going to be hard to contain athleticism. There's going to be a lot of, maybe not a lot, but there's going to be some breakaway runs. But I'm really excited for that defensive line, O-line matchup with the physicality on both sides. What DeForest Buckner's been able to bring to that defense is ridiculous. So I'm going to be a homer. I'm taking the Colts. I think we can do it. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if the Ravens just blow us out either. So
long walk just for a just to settle. I like it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This Colts team is so weird this year because you just really don't know what this is. The most no idea what this team is. We really don't know. So in the whole month of November, it's going to be tough. It's a lot of tough matchups, but if the Colts can get a win against Baltimore, that's a great start. And with being at home, I hope, but I also really think the Colts can pull it off.
There we go. I don't think they will. I think this is the start of the real like season for you guys, because you guys have Ravens, yeah. Titans, Packers, Titans.
Yeah.
This 4-game stretch, I think, will define your guys' season, because then you finish Texans, Raiders, Texans, Steelers, Jags.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys go 2-2, I think that's a win. 3-1, I see as the best case scenario. I say you guys need to go 3-1 in this stretch, you know, to have real ambitions come postseason.
Yeah.
So that's just me.
I think the Colts are at least a wild card team right now. And right now we're tied with Tennessee for, you know, on top of AFC South.
Yeah.
You know, it really sucks. We lost the Jaguars week 1. That don't want to talk about that.
That's the thing. But when I'm looking at your guys' schedule, the best team you guys have played is either the Bears or the Browns.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's kind of where a question mark comes up for me, too. It's like, well,
definitely. Yeah, the schedule has not been there. So who knows? That's why this month, November, is going to be the deciding moment for the Colts. So have to wait and see. But yeah, I think, and especially with the Ravens not having Ronnie Staley on their old line now. So,
yeah,
there's a bit of a weakness there. But who knows? I think the Colts got it.
Colts got it. I think Lamar's going to deliver, but we'll just have to wait until Sunday.
Yeah.
When we have Jonah Baker on the Monday show this week, little teaser for that one. So stick around on Monday, or stick around and make sure you listen on Monday, as we will have Jonah Baker on the show to talk about the pros and the NFL and the NCAA NBA, as their new season has just been announced. And we're going to talk about a little bit how Jonah and I were dead wrong about DK Metcalf and who he is. But
yeah, I'd love to hear that conversation.
All that coming on Monday. Thank you all so much for listening for this edition of the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. Zach Kellogg, Chris Dermer. You can catch me at Twitter, Zach Kellogg, @Kellogg_Zach. You can catch Chris on Twitter @Chris_Dermer. Dermer is all capitalized, and it is DermER. You can catch Chris also on the YOLOcast on anchor.fm/the-YOLOcast.
Ooh, look at that.
Spotify. You can catch it on Google Podcasts. You can catch it on Apple Podcasts.
Everywhere. You can catch it everywhere, basically.
Everywhere. If you're into pop culture, video games, movies, TV, that's your one-stop shop for everything with Chris and his buddies. Chris, anything else you want to add on before we leave the show today?
Yeah, you know, tomorrow, November 7th, starting at 11 a.m. Pacific time, I will be doing, with me and the YOLOcast buddies, we'll be doing a charity live stream We're just streaming video games all day to help support the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals on Extra Life Day. We'll be trying to do a 12-hour live stream. It's going to be fun time. There's going to be incentives. It's going to get weird. So join us.
That's what's up. If you have a chance, go check out his live stream.
twitch.tv/DanielPrestonMC. That's where you should catch us out.
Say that one more time for the people just in case they missed it.
twitch.tv/DanielPrestonMC.
There we go. I'm going to be sure to check that out. 12-hour live stream. You know I got to be there. See what you guys are all about. Go check that out. And thank you so much for listening to the Vandal Scoreboard Podcast. And we'll see you all next time. And remember, go Vandals.
Roll Vandals.